Welcome to Business Voice, a program of the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. Each month, we'll feature business and community leaders sharing their stories, initiatives, concerns, and passions. Learn practical information regarding community resources and opportunities. Now, the host of Business Voice, Greece Regional Chamber President and CEO, Sarah Lentini.
Hi, everybody. This is Sarah Lentini, and you're listening to Business Voice, a program of the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. We've got a great show for you today, starting with my first guest. I'm so delighted to welcome in the studio right now, Kathy Groutman, Superintendent of the Greece Central School District. Welcome, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for having me today.
Well, we're delighted. Kathy, you know, I've known you for a little while now, and of course, I want to share with everybody who's listening that, among other things, you sit on the board of directors of the Greece Regional Chamber, and we're so delighted that you do that. It's such an important connection for the chamber, for the business community. And I know that you've been going great guns since you took on the position of superintendent, but you weren't always in that role. So tell us a little bit about how you got involved in education and in the Greece School District.
Sure. So my career, I've always been in education, so that is not new for me.
Okay.
I was born and raised in Greece, so I have a strong connection to the Greece community and the Greece school district. But I taught for 10 years to start with, and then I did that in West Rondacoit, and then made the leap over to Greece over 15 years ago. And I served as an administrator, an assistant principal, and have basically worked in every position beyond that. So an assistant principal, principal, assistant superintendent, and now the superintendent. So
that's great. That's amazing. And I have to think that that's incredibly useful in your role. The fact that you've been in all the other roles really gives you an appreciation of what the folks on your staff are dealing with, right?
Absolutely. Well, there's two pieces. I think one, being a longtime community member, gives me sort of great history and just perspective on our town. And then the other piece in terms of as my work, really sitting and doing the job of many of the people in the system makes a difference because I know what's expected. I know the demands and have great empathy for all of the work.
Yeah, I bet that works very well. So, but you said you knew from the beginning. So you've been in education, or I'm assuming you knew, or did you know? Did you just start in education and you stayed, or did you actually want to be in education?
I will say I was not the kid who grew up wanting to be a teacher. No one taught in my family, so I didn't have that perspective. I didn't have that context in terms of, you know, having parents that were educators or teachers. But I went to school in Geneseo and got introduced to education early on in terms of one class that I took where we did some practicum work and some hours in classrooms. And I knew once I was with kids that that was something that was going to be important to me and that I wanted to do for a career.
That's great. How nice that you found your life's passion so early. And if people were able to see you, they would sort of be scratching their heads because you don't look old enough to have had all the roles the roles that you just sort of walked us through very quickly. And the truth is that, you know, we're really lucky to have you in Greece. I want folks to know as well is that, you know, we've got our 33rd annual Community Awards event coming up, and we give a range of awards in all kinds of areas, and one of them is education. And this year, the Community Awards Selection Committee selected Kathy to get the 2018 Education Award. And it was in large part because not only is this great experience being brought to bear in Greece, but I have seen and we have seen the great job that you've been doing in trying to make connections between business and the school and education and providing all sorts of initiatives and programs that go beyond just the classroom. In addition, we've also seen how much you've been doing in terms of focusing on what's good about the students, about the classroom. There's so many great stories to be told about the Greece Central School District. Now, it's enormous, right? What is it? Is it the 13th largest in the state of New York?
We're actually the 9th largest right now. We flow between being the 8th and 9th largest, depending on enrollment.
Oh, you're huge.
We're bigger than I thought. We're about 11,000 students. We have 17 schools.
Wow.
We're large.
So very much the size of an urban district, right?
Yeah, we're about the size of Albany.
Yeah.
city.
Exactly, which makes complete sense because the population of the city of Greece. See, now I'm doing it. The population of the town of Greece is about 96,000 and change, right?
Yep.
And the population of the city of Albany is about 98,000.
Yep.
So we're right in there, but nobody thinks of Greece as a city. And similarly, they don't think of the Greece Central School District as an urban district, but of course the size is very much in line with Albany. So the other thing that's very interesting, as I've learned about the district, is it is, you know, the population of Greece and the population of the district are certainly not monolithic, right?
Right. So one of the interesting facts about Greece, so we're large, and you were sort of that first ring suburban district. So we don't really match up with most of our suburban counterparts. And demographically, we actually mirror the nation. So when I say that, if you were to break down any subgroup in Greece as a school district, we mirror almost the nation's demographics identically.
Wow.
Which is really, so I look at that as a huge strength.
Yes.
Because I look at our community that represents the nation. It's representative in Greece. So our kids that are being raised and educated in Greece are really going to go off into the world and be so much more prepared in terms of working with people.
Yep. And, you know, it's interesting. I think when I was raised, you know, I'm thinking about my going through school, but also kind of going through life. This country is always described as a melting pot. And it is a melting pot, but it's always described that way as if that happened, right? It was a melting pot, but it continues to be a melting pot. I mean, that's the thing. In some ways, the district is a very quick way to get a snapshot of the continued influx into the country and into the region of people with all sorts of backgrounds coming, you know, speaking all kinds of languages and cultures. So you're saying it's a great strength, and I agree with you. Is it also a little bit of a challenge sometimes if you've got a lot of kids who are coming in who need to learn English? Or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that what you just shared is a huge challenge, but it's also one of the most rewarding things that we do in education. So we can look, and again, of the 17 schools, there's sort of uniqueness to all of those schools, because in one school we host a newcomer program, for example, and these are students who've never received formalized education, who've never spoken English.
Wow,
so
that's amazing.
They
yeah.
come and they step foot in our schools, and we have programs to support them, which is a challenge at times, but it also, you'd be amazed if you see some of these kids after they've been in our schools for, you know, as much as 6 months or a year, they're speaking English and they've acclimated and doing really well learning.
And in fact, you know, it's interesting. One of the initiatives that the Greece Regional Chamber and the Greece Central School District and some other districts and certainly lots of businesses in the community and government have partnered on for many years. In fact, it's our 28th year as the Youth Hall of Fame. And lots of the nominees are coming from the Greece Central School District. Thank you very much. You guys are awesome partners. And you know, year after year, because now I've been involved for, what is it, 3 or 4 years, it's not an anomaly that that there will be these wonderful nominations brought forward of young people, many of whom have come from other countries, maybe have come from some difficult situations in other countries, and have had to deal with learning the language, dealing with a new culture. And they've not only done well in school, they've not only done well academically, and overcome maybe those extra couple of barriers, but they typically are employed, they've got jobs, and often they're also doing all kinds of wonderful community volunteer service. And you end up, you know, reading these nominations and you're so moved. So it's really great. Yeah.
So one really nice highlight from this year was a student from Arcadia, Miriam, who spent 12 years in a refugee camp, came over to Greece, Arcadia, and to Greece less than 2 years ago, and was the lead in our play this year.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, here, that is just incredible. And her whole point around the story, she connected with the story because it was about being home, and she feels like she's home now. So, she just did a beautiful job of learning the part, but she's also done such a great job academically and just getting used to school and life here.
But that also means that you guys have done a great job of helping her to get there. So what meaningful work. I mean, I can kind of get why you might have gotten hooked, from the beginning.
Yep.
Because there's nothing, I can't think of too many things that one could do that are going to, you know, have that much impact, not just on an individual's life, but on society.
Sure. Know? It's to be able to work in a field where you can go to, you can show up every day and smile and laugh and just enjoy it. There's no part of it that doesn't make you happy every day. Mm-hmm. There's some things that can be frustrating. There are some things that can be difficult, but every single day you get to smile, and every day you make, you know, you're making a difference for kids and families.
That's great. So I mentioned already that, you know, one of the things that, that the Community Awards Selection Committee was so impressed with was, you know, all the work that you and obviously your very capable team over at the district, all the work that you're putting into making connections between business and education. You want to talk a little bit about some of those?
Sure. Well, let me just start by saying, when I first became superintendent, and I will say having some perspective over Greece, I described it as that I felt Greece was bruised, and that mm-hmm. there we didn't always have the greatest reputation. There was a lot of things that I thought were sort of being conveyed and put out that I didn't think really represented the incredible things that were happening in the district. And I said that out loud to our entire staff. There was 3,000 people sitting there on that day. And the first thing that I challenge people to think about and that I believe in wholeheartedly is the mm-hmm. importance of relationships. And when I say that, I mean not just with our students, but with our families and with our community partners and with business. So we've really been able to build off that idea of relationships and building partnerships. So that is sort of so foundational in our work, and I think so important to have any successful system. So mm-hmm. I just sort of anchor that piece and want to say that out loud. Then as we've gotten a team together and really have been clear around our strategic plan, we have tried really hard to make sure that we're building stronger partnerships with our community. So the other thing that became loud and clear to me early on was so many people in our community, we have so many generous people who mm-hmm. want to help mm-hmm. and who want to be connected to schools and want to be connected to our students and their talents and all of these important pieces, but no one knows how.
Right.
So it was sort of this idea of how do we become better connectors and make sure that we're linking all of these great people in our community to our students. So one of the things that we've tried to do, and we've talked about this before, Sarah, is within each of our high schools, we're trying to develop strong pathways. And by that, I mean we have unique pathways where we've really sort of pulled students, but also looked at what's needed in our community in terms of work and jobs. And so we've created pathways. As an example, we have an optics pathway at Olympia. Mm-hmm. So that optics pathway is a sequence of classes that students can go through. Sometimes a pathway can lead to specific certification. Mm-hmm. It could lead to credit. It could lead to an associate's degree in some cases. There's some really unique pathways. But the other piece to that pathway that we're trying to build and make stronger is this connection to business. So with that optics pathway, they're linked directly to OptiMax.
Oh, wow.
There is another pathway, for example, that's more of a culinary pathway. Mm-hmm. They're linking with Unity because there's a lot of work that they need support with from a food service perspective.
Oh, makes sense. Absolutely.
So we're trying to make sure that those links are clear and that they exist, but also that so that we're clear around kids getting work hours and mm-hmm. specific things throughout their high school career. And so that they're getting that particular work and technical experience, but that also they're learning soft skills and the things associated with having a successful work experience so that when they do graduate, some of these people might want to hire them.
Absolutely.
But even if they're not the ones hiring them, they've been prepared not only with those technical skills, but also the softer skills that kids yep. need to be successful.
Yeah, in fact, that's something that we've heard time and again mm-hmm. and that we've heard, you know, both individually and jointly. You're reminding me because, you know, what folks may or may not know is that we recently, the Greece Regional Chamber, partnering with the district and with educators and businesses and government, recently held a business and education panel luncheon and discussion, and it was facilitated and attended by, I think it was over 60 or 70 business leaders from the region. And Kathy was a panelist for us, an excellent panelist for us, and also helped. We had a small core group of us at the chamber that were doing some thinking and shaping around how we were going to have the conversation. It's a big conversation, important conversation, and, you know, quite frankly, could easily have gone off the rails. But one of the things that we heard that really emerged pretty clearly out of that conversation was that that employers do need soft skills. They don't just need technical skills. And increasingly, it's difficult to find you know, employees of any age. I was going to say young people, but it isn't really just true of young people at this point. It's difficult to find employees that have not just the specific experience that you're looking for, but that understand how to deal with the customer, that understand how to answer a phone, how to put together an email, how to be gracious and correct and appropriate and effective, quite frankly, in a variety of situations. And those are the, you know, soft skills maybe isn't even the right term for it, but it is what we all, you know, it is what we all mean by that. It's then they're critical skills. And so we're actually one of the things that we're excited about working with you and others on is doing some thinking around how we do even more of the sorts of things that you're already doing.
Right. I think the thing that we forget is that most of our students haven't had any feedback about this. So mm-hmm. some of them may or may not have ever had a job before. So they go into their first job and in many cases are not in a situation where they're getting regular feedback around maybe what they're doing wrong or what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's really important and one of the things that we're building into the curriculum, so when we lay out a pathway, so if it's optics or if it's there's a business pathway, for example, at one of the high schools, that we're also building into that curriculum really particular things that are, again, not part of optics or business mm-hmm, mm-hmm. or culinary, but more of those other things that we know kids will need to be successful. So, and that's really, really important. And again, then also while kids are getting some work experience, how are they getting feedback embedded into that? So they might be learning it in the coursework, but then they're also going to need to apply it and get some feedback.
That's great. I mean, the whole effort just sounds, first of all, fantastic, challenging, fantastic, meaningful, and spot on in terms of what's needed. I really appreciated your comment about building the infrastructure of the relationships, mm-hmm. you know, as the sort of the bed, yeah. the petri dish, the bed, whatever you want to call it, within which you need to then, you know, grow some of the specific initiatives that you're taking on. Now, the other thing I know that's sort of a concomitant part of this, a corollary to all this, is that you've also really embarked on a campaign to surface and communicate, always a challenge because communication is always an ongoing challenge, right? But to communicate all the great news there is to communicate about both individuals as well as initiatives at the district. So, and it seems to me like you're particularly good at using social media in this respect, perhaps some other vehicles as well. You want to talk a little about that?
So I don't think there's anything so dramatic that I'm going to share that I think has made all the difference, but I think there's a huge piece in terms of mindset. So mm-hmm. again, when we talk as a bigger group, as a staff, it's this idea that what you put out matters. So if we're as a system complaining about ourselves or complaining about something that we have mm-hmm. no control over, then that's what people are going to pick up on.
Right, right, right.
And so it's really, really easy for people to oftentimes complain about the media. Well, they only want to cover the bad things. They only want to do this. So I hear that a lot. And I continue to challenge people around then make sure that you're countering that, you know, counter that with 10 really good things because mm-hmm. they're happening. So we have, we use social media a great deal. So we've got a big presence on Facebook, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Those mm-hmm. are two big pieces, but I know we've got a lot of teachers who are also on Instagram and other forums. And again, I encourage people to put out regularly. What are the great things that you're seeing? What are you being a part of? What have your kids learned today?
Right.
What are you proud of? Those kinds of things so that we can see and get that out there more often. In addition to that, we do things like we do a monthly video where we just put that out on our website and other places, but it goes out on social media as well. But we've worked really hard to collectively make sure that on a monthly basis, we have print that's being sent out to mm-hmm. media sources. Not that that's always picked up, but we're always going to put it out. And if it's not picked up formally by the news station, what we'll do is make sure it gets put up on our website.
Great.
There are stories every month that are covered like that. And then I think there's just the fact that I'm at events. I don't miss a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole point of being there is so that I can see and promote and make sure that we're connecting and showing off all the great mm-hmm. things that are happening. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that it's a lot of work. But again, when you're putting out really good things, it feels good too.
Right. And what an important message for the kids themselves. And of mm-hmm. course, you know, young people are on all those mm-hmm. social media platforms. So at the same time, you know, this is about congratulating and recognizing kids mm-hmm. when they are, you know, when they're achieving good things, which happens far more often yeah. than the bad stuff. And yet we spend so much energy as, you know, as a people focusing on the bad. So it's wonderful that you're focusing on the good. And I really applaud your efforts. You know, I'm very proud to be, you know, even tangentially involved with some of what you're doing and excited about some of the stuff we're doing kind of in a head-on way together. So, you know, as you were talking about the website, people can probably just Google you and find you, but is there a web address? Is there contact information? And are there particular people on your staff or even you that should people want to be connected, want to volunteer for the district or want to play a role or know more? How would they go about doing that?
If you go to the website, it's just GreeceCentral.org. I mean, if you go on, you can find it easy. But when you get on, it's easy to connect with me, but I would easily and be really happy to connect to anybody. We have a community schools coordinator, Kelly Sperduto. So her email address would be too long and probably not remember, but she is really easy for me to connect people with. And she's really helpful in terms of if someone wants to volunteer, if someone wants to be a part of something. She's helped us connect Rotary, and Rotary does a great backpack program for our kids that goes home Friday. She's connected many of our faith-based groups so that they're supporting after-school activities and things. She does a ton of work around connecting, even some of our business who just want to come in and do some reading to kids or things like that. She helps to facilitate that. But Kelly Sperduto is our person. But if anybody was to email just to the Grease Central website, to me, or Laurel Hayden, my communications person, will get them connected.
So you're both findable on the web, website. So
easy,
the website's
on the, website.
The way in for people.
Yep.
And I'm assuming that if some businesses, if there are folks listening that are involved in, you know, maybe they're business owners or involved in some businesses and they want to play a role in some of the business education initiatives that you have, that you'd welcome that as well?
Absolutely. And sometimes people just, I've always encouraged people to call, email, make an appointment. I meet with people all the time, and it could be a half hour appointment where we sit down and really talk about what their interests are. And then I sort of think out loud about where I could connect them and where, what would be the best thing for them to do to get in a meaningful way and in a sustainable way, because I think that's what most people are craving, is something that isn't a new thing every week, but something that's more sustainable and sort of an ongoing relationship that they can have with us. But I think to find the right place, it takes just a little bit of time up front. And I'll tell you, I'm more than happy to do that. And I know I've got other people who are more than happy to sit down and have conversations with our community, with business owners, with anybody, to just make sure where we can find that niche.
That's great. In case you're just joining us, you're listening to Business Voice, a program of the Grease Regional Chamber of Commerce. And you're also listening to Kathy Groutman, who is the superintendent of the Grease Central School District and the winner of this year's 2018 Education Award, which is going to be presented on April 26th. At the Grease Regional Chamber of Commerce's Community Awards Gala. It's going to be at the Marriott in the evening. Wonderful event. And we're actually giving awards, 15 awards in total, giving awards across a very broad range of community areas. But Kathy is the recipient of the 2018 Education Award. Kathy, congratulations again. And thank you so very much for joining us and for everything you do.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we have Courtney McGinnis, Mary Ellen Van Auker, and Katie Bauer of Episcopal Senior Life Communities. So stick around. We'll be right back.
If you're looking to market and grow your business, make new business connections, and give back to the community in a meaningful way, consider joining the Grease Regional Chamber of Commerce. We're the largest suburban chamber in Monroe County, and we offer networking, education, marketing, insurance, and advocacy. You do not need to live or work in Grease to join. Our members come from throughout the region. In short, we're better together, and together, we're moving business forward. Visit GreaseChamber.org or call 585-227-7272 to join today.
Rochester's Hall for Talk. WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Sarah Lentini, and you're listening to Business Voice, a program of the Grease Regional Chamber of Commerce. I'm delighted to welcome my next guests, wonderful individuals who are all connected to Episcopal Senior Life Communities and members of the Grease Regional Chamber of Commerce, starting with Courtney McGinnis, Katie Bauer, and Mary Ellen Van Auker. Welcome, all three of you.
Thank you
for having us.
You're very welcome. So I would love to know a little bit about what each of you does and also, you know, get some history on Episcopal Senior Life, which have, may or may not be known by the listening audience, but which is celebrating 150 years this year, which is just an unbelievable, unbelievable statistic. I don't think there are too many organizations in the community that have been around for 150 years. So I'm wondering, maybe, Courtney, we could start with you and you could tell us a little bit about Episcopal Senior Life.
Sure, sure. Well, as you said, this is a huge year for the organization. We are a faith-based, not-for-profit organization dedicated to understanding individual and community needs and responding. And that sentiment is something that we've had from the beginning in 1868.
Just to say that, right? Isn't that unbelievable? You just say that and you picture a very different time, right?
Yes, yeah. You sure do. Yeah. You sure do. In fact, I'm getting a really good sense of that. We're writing a book. We're getting our history down on paper.
Wow.
And I've been able to read the first draft, and it's unbelievable. It starts to give a little perspective of what was going on at the time and how things may have changed over time. When we were instituted, we were an organization that took care of orphaned children and women. We were a refuge and a living place for them. And over the years, of course, we've changed quite a bit.
I bet.
Again, with that idea in mind that as the needs in the community change, we change what we're offering and we develop programs to support the community.
So do you still take care? That's probably just a different concept and a different model from another era. But is there any vestige of the original programming that focused on orphaned women and children?
So now we work with primarily seniors.
Okay.
Both genders, of course.
Okay.
You also no longer have to be Episcopalian, which is something you had to be either baptized or be Episcopalian when we first opened.
Great question.
And we're certainly a faith-based organization, but not a religious organization. Our values are well seeped in the Christian values, which just means that the way that we do things is kind and compassionate and friendly. And all of that good stuff. It wasn't actually until the 60s that we started providing nursing care, somewhat of what you might think of today when you think of a skilled nursing home. The Episcopal Church Home, interestingly enough, in 1868, we are on the same property. The Episcopal Church Home is on the same property on Mount Hope Avenue for that entire 150 years.
And where is it on Mount Hope? I'm not sure if I'm...
It's on the corner of Mount Hope and Ford Street.
And Ford Street.
Right by the bridge
there. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I'm picturing the right area. Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, right on the river.
So what is your role with the organization, and how long have you been there, and how'd you get involved with the Episcopal Senior Life community?
So I've been with the organization 16 years.
Wow. It's a long time.
Yep. A lot of my career has been spent with Episcopal Senior Life communities, learned a lot. I came on board to open our community in Gates, which is called Seabury Woods, which is patio homes, assisted living, and memory care.
Wow.
So we have grown to a community that offers a plethora of different care options for seniors, from our neighborhood programs, which we'll talk about in a bit more detail, hopefully today, independent living, senior housing, moderate rate and market rate. In fact, one thing that makes us very different from many other organizations is that we are specifically targeting people in a middle income. It might not be wildly known until you start to look for any kind of senior housing or senior programs that there tends to be some options for people who have some limited income.
Right.
And then there are, of course, many options for people in a luxury type of market. And we are really looking at how do we provide quality services and programming for that everyday senior that doesn't get may not ever qualify for affordable housing, but also can't afford luxury housing.
Yep. Oh, I think that's great. I got to tell you, I think you're hitting the nail on the head, which is it's not just in this arena, but in many arenas. It's often the folks in the middle that are really not, that programming isn't aimed at. Subsidies aren't aimed at those folks. And then as you said, they may not have the means, to really get into the housing that they need and get the services they need without some assistance. So, kudos to you guys for recognizing that. So I know you've got a lot of communities. And one of them is the place that the Greece Regional Chamber held its first Friday event this morning, Beatrice Place, which is on nice road. And the executive director of Beatrice Place is Mary Ellen Van Auken, who is also very active with the Greece Regional Chamber and sits on our ambassador committee. Thank you so much. You did an awesome job this morning. We had such a great time at your place.
Thank you for all coming.
WYSL Avon Rochester.
And Mary Ellen, if you could, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in this and also tell us a little about Beatrice Place.
Well, I started with Episcopal Senior Life Communities almost 5 years ago. It'll be 5 years in December.
Oh, only 5 years. I would have guessed forever.
Years. It went for,
right? Wow. Yeah, very fast. Seemed like you've been there forever. Yeah.
And just a little bit about Beatrice Place. It's an independent senior facility. It's apartments, senior apartments. It used to be the old Our Lady of Mercy Church, School, and Rectory. And our CEO really wanted to build a community in the middle of an existing neighborhood so that people felt that they were still at home, still comfortable, knew the area around them. So they purchased the Our Lady of Mercy Church, School, and Rectory and repurposed it into two senior apartments. So currently we have 72 apartments at Beatrice Place.
It's great. And it's a lovely place with a great chef, by the way, because we got to sample some of the chef's talent this morning. That was really wonderful.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. In addition to meeting, lots of very nice people who are, who live at Beatrice Place, in addition to the staff. So thank you so much. One of the things that we haven't shared with the listening audience yet, and in case you just tuned in, you're listening to Business Voice, a program of the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. And I'm sitting here with Mary Ellen Van Auker. And with Courtney McGinnis and with Katie Bauer, all of whom are from Episcopal Senior Life Communities, which is celebrating 150-year anniversary this year, as you may have heard. But what we haven't shared with you is that Episcopal Senior Life Communities is also this year the recipient of the 2018 Health Award. Health Award, really interesting, right? Mm-hmm. Coming from the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce and is going to be recognized at our upcoming Community Awards Gala on April 26th at the Marriott in the evening. Great event, 15 awards, and this one is, chief among them. So part of what I'm, wanting folks to know is the big role that you do play, not just in housing, but in health. So I don't know which one of you wants to step up and talk a little bit about it, but, the Community Awards Committee was extremely impressed by the, is it called the Neighborhood Program?
It's called the Neighborhood Outreach Program.
The Neighborhood Outreach Program. And tell folks a little bit about this, because it's really impressive.
Well, this program is to promote health and wellness of seniors out in the community that might be isolated, might have some poor nutrition habits, and are not very active. So we run an outreach program at Beatrice Place that seniors can come in and they can participate in fitness programs that our wonderful Katie Bauer here teaches. And they can come in and participate in healthy cooking classes to learn how to make better meals for themselves and also make some great friendships throughout our community and meet other people in the community outside Beatrice Place.
Which is no small deal when it comes to health. Being connected to somebody else is really a very important component as well. Mm-hmm. And just to underscore this, this isn't just for your residents. This is for the community as a whole, which I think is very unique. And again, something to really, that's something you should be congratulated for. So, Katie, I think that takes us to you, and it sounds as though you play a role in this healthy living kind of initiative, right?
Tell us
a little bit about yourself.
I'm very lucky to have this role. I teach Zumba Gold, Zumba Chair. We do a walking program that we're trying to do this summer, a traveling walking program through Monroe County.
I just
want to keep all of either the neighborhood program or the residents active.
That's great.
Because it does so much more to you physically. It does a lot mentally. And they come in. I do fit and flexible, yoga. And a lot of times they come in and saying, oh, I'm tired or I wasn't going to come. But when they leave, they have so much energy and they're so happy. And that's what makes me happy.
Yes, absolutely.
To see the joy that they get and the friendships that have been made through this neighborhood program. has been unbelievable. They come in, they don't know anyone. They're a little shy at first. And now we have make and takes that we do at Beatrice Place. And there's a bunch of people who didn't know each other coming in and saying, okay, Donna, you bring the wine. Ginny, you bring the dessert. And let's sit down and have a nice meal together.
That sounds
great. I mean, it's wonderful. It makes me so happy that they look forward to that.
So here's a question, because it's sounding more and more attractive the longer you speak. So what do you need? I mean, can anybody participate? Do you need to be of a certain age? What are the requirements for participating in this program?
Anyone can participate.
Really?
Actually, it's a senior, you know.
Okay.
They do come in. I mean, I go to the Ogden Senior Center as well. It's part of our outreach at WOW, and that would be in the 50s. But everybody is welcome. We want everybody to come on, and we do. We are geared to the seniors, of course. But
when, where does seniorhood begin?
I would say 55. Most people are 55 and older that take part in the program.
So that's a young age.
Yeah,
that sounds very cool.
It
so literally, if I were 55 or older, I could come and participate in the program, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
I don't
you
have
could.
To fill out paperwork.
We don't check any ID.
I don't have
ID.
To pay a fee.
No.
I can come and I can. What is it? What are we doing? We're doing Zumba.
We're going to do Zumba from the chair.
Zumba
we'll
from
do
the chair.
Flexible. We also have a bar class that's very trendy right now.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
Yes, we have our instructor Becky who comes in and she does a bar class and she brings in ballet bars.
Wow.
Where they'll just stand up and they'll balance on one leg. It's a lot about balance.
Well, that
people
hard.
Improve their balance with this class.
Yeah, it sounds hard but good. So, Mary Ellen, is this program, obviously it's at Beatrice Place, and that's nice and close to me. Is it in other places as well?
Just to go back a little bit, there is a fee for participation in the program.
Okay. I knew it was too good to be true.
But it's a very nominal fee.
Oh, my gosh. Is that it? $6 a month?
It's $75 for a year.
Wow. That's great.
We'll even work with people for $6.25 a month. They can come in and participate in all these wonderful things that we're offering for them, even day trips.
Wow.
We have educational programs, you know, et cetera. So it's a moderate fee.
No, it sure is.
The great things turn anybody away.
Right. We'd never disclude someone if they couldn't afford it.
Wow.
And yes,
that's fantastic.
This is in, I believe, 6 other communities within Episcopal Senior Life. So it is in Honeyoy Falls now.
Nice.
At our site there. We have it in Seabury Woods, out in the Chile area, in the Gates area.
In Henrietta?
Right, exactly.
That's great. Oh, my gosh. I had no idea. That's really very, very impressive. And I know that part of what you're doing, or it seems to me, maybe Courtney, you were telling me when we were talking earlier that you guys, this isn't just about offering these great services and, you know, assuming that, that health is happening. You're actually tracking some health outcomes, right?
Yes, absolutely. So the neighborhood program was birthed back in 2013. And the first one was actually in Henrietta.
Mm-hmm.
And the driving force behind this is really our vision as an organization, which is to create relationships in communities that inspire active and purposeful lives. And this was one way that we could bring that vision outside of our walls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was just kind of that aha thought that we said, we do this for all of our residents on a daily basis. What about the senior that lives across the street?
Absolutely.
Why can't they take part? So that's really what launched us, and it's been a phenomenal program. We've had great support from different foundations. The Daisy Marquis Jones Foundation has been a supporter from day one, actually, and the Greater Rochester Health Foundation are also supporting the program. And we have tracked our outcomes. We have just under 300 members, and every 6 months we do testing.
Okay.
Which sounds more clinical than it
does.
Is.
It does kind of sound clinical. I have to agree.
Katie makes it really fun when she goes, you know, community to community.
Right.
But we're really looking to see how people are doing emotionally. Is there any traces of any kind of depression? And we found out that over 97% of our participants are not having signs of depression.
That's great.
That's great for seniors. Yep. If you're living by yourself, you know, that can be a risk
to
slip into a depression. Also, we have decreased falls. We know that what we call aging in place, which is where people are aging where they want to be, we think of this program as something that underlines that and helps make that a reality. Because with independence, our choices, and you can stay home or wherever it is that you want to live for longer, one of the largest disruptors to an aging in place plan is a fall.
Oh, yeah.
For seniors.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So we have decreased falls in our participants by 30%.
Oh, that's amazing. That's a fantastic statistic. That's great.
Yeah.
What a good outcome.
Oh,
and, yeah. And you're really just getting started from what I'm hearing, too, right? When you said this started in Henrietta, and when? How many years ago?
2000, I think I said 13, but it's 12.
Is actually. It 2012?
2012.
That's not, yeah. So you're probably just starting to see the, you know, the impact of working with this population over a period of time, which is awesome. Now, the person who's not in the room that I kind of want to mention, right, because he is the head of, right, your president and CEO, the head of Episcopal Senior Life Communities, and somebody who's been around a little while is Lauren Ranaletta, right?
Yes.
So Lauren couldn't be here today, but this has got to be something that he helped to shape. How many years has Lauren run Episcopal Senior Life?
This summer, Lauren will be at Episcopal Senior Life Communities for 34 years.
Goodness gracious. A little bit of time. Yeah.
Yes. And he is a driver. This certainly is something that he has been very dedicated to, is how do we educate the community? How do we impact the community in a positive way as far as seniors are concerned, and also their families.
Mm-hmm.
The more well your senior family members are doing, the better you feel as maybe a younger family member. And he's the driving force behind everything it is that we do. He is an innovative leader, passionate, compassionate.
Yes.
And
yes.
He is sad that he's missing this today, but he went to the Masters yesterday, so we're not feeling too bad for him.
No, but congratulations.
He called today, though.
Did he call
today?
All right.
Yep.
Good to hear. And I know that we're going to see him on April 26th for the Community Awards Gala, so that's awesome. And I just want to say, you know, Lauren's doing a great job, but you guys are doing a great job. Mary Ellen Van Auker from Beatrice Place, just one of many Episcopal Senior Life communities scattered throughout Monroe County, right? Courtney McGinnis, you've been there for, what did you say, 16 years? 16 years and going strong and doing a wonderful job. And it's also such a pleasure to meet you, Katie Bauer. I can see that you're probably getting people very, very literally jazzed up about the fitness program. And for $6.25 a month, once the word gets out, I think you may see a few more people coming your way. And that's all to the good, because it is really going to help everybody stay connected, stay healthy, and what a great service you're providing to the community. So congratulations on being the recipients of the 2018 Health Award, and also congratulations on 150 wonderful years. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Our next guest is going to be Letty Laskowski, an attorney from Harris, Chesworth, Johnstone, Welch. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Join the Greece Regional Chamber and presenting sponsor A. Christina Breenhale, State Farm Insurance Agent, for the 33rd Annual Community Awards Gala, Thursday, April 26th, from 6 to 9:30 p.m. at the Rochester Airport Marriott Hotel in Greece. Help us celebrate the remarkable people that make our community great. For tickets and information, visit GreeceChamber.org or call 585-227-7272. 585-227-7272.
More than 20,000 watts of truth every day.
WYSL 92.1 FM and 1040 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Business Voice. I'm Sarah Lentini, and Business Voice is a program of the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. I've got with me a wonderful guest, Letty Laskowski, who is an attorney with Harris, Chesworth, Johnstone, Welch, and is also the recipient of this year's Young Professional of the Year Award. The Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce is going to confer that on April 26th at the Marriott. Welcome, Letty.
Thank you, Sarah.
So, Letty, you're a litigator. Did I understand this correctly? You're not just an attorney, but you're a litigator, correct?
Yes, I am.
So that kind of means like you get in the courtroom and duke it out, as it were, correct?
Well, yes and no. I mean, we do try to resolve cases without having to go to trial, but I have done courtroom work to try to resolve them.
That's right. I always had thought, you know, there was a point in my life where I wouldn't have minded being an attorney, but I think I would have been a little bit intimidated at the notion of, you know, of being a litigator and being, you know, presumably in the courtroom perhaps more than some other attorneys are. Or is that a misconception?
I think a lot depends on the judge sometimes when you're in court, because some judges are very intense and some are a little more friendly. So,
right. And if you're a litigator, do you specialize in a particular area of the law, or is litigation an area of the law itself?
Well, there are attorneys that specialize in particular areas like intellectual property or FCC law, things like that. But I do civil litigation generally. So I do a little bit of personal injury work. I do some estate disputes. I do plaintiff and defense work.
Wow.
And a lot of my practice concentrates municipal defense.
Oh, okay. So you're working with a lot of units of local government.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah. And there are plenty of them around, especially if you're regional in scope, which I'm guessing you are.
Yes.
Wonderful. So are you originally from the area, or are you?
I am.
Are you from maybe the Greece area in particular?
I'm actually from Rush.
You're from Rush. So you're practically from here.
Yes. Pretty close by.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. And now that you are with Harris Chesworth, have you been there a long time? And were you with another law firm, or did you come to Harris right out of school?
Well, when I was in law school, unfortunately, that was when the economy went south. So I did some temporary work for a while, and then I got the job at Harris Chesworth. And in February, I celebrated 7 years of being there.
So. Oh, that's a nice chunk of time.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I really
enjoy
it.
That's a big anniversary. Yeah. And did you go to law school? I mean, there aren't any law schools in Rochester, so where did you go to school?
I went to Syracuse University.
Nice. Very nice. And did you always know you wanted to be a lawyer?
I don't know. I think I've kind of kept myself open to different possibilities. I've always wanted to help people. And the law is prevalent through so many aspects of life that I thought it would be important to have the legal background so that it would allow me to be able to help people no matter what path I chose.
Mm-hmm. So no lawyers in the family. Mom and dad aren't attorneys.
No.
No. This was really your path.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very nice. What did you study undergrad, if I may ask?
I did history. I studied history and did a minor in economics. And then actually I went on a very different path right out of undergraduate. I was working in the neurology department at the University of Rochester.
Oh, here in Rochester.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I did Huntington's and Parkinson's disease research.
Wow.
With the neurology department there. So.
Well, that sounds fascinating, actually.
Yeah.
So why did you think about sticking with that for a while? Or that's a big transition going from that to going to law school.
Well, I had wanted to go to law school when I was an undergrad, and I worked at for the neurology department when I was going to school, and I ended up working there after I graduated, and I was there for a few years, but I still wanted to go to law school, so I did end up eventually leaving, but I was working in the clinical trials for about 5 years all
told.
Oh,
wow. So. Oh, very cool. Well, that sounds, they all sound like very interesting roles, actually. So so now that you've been with Harris Chesworth Johnstone Welch for 7 years, right, and obviously have gotten a fair amount of legal experience, you know, practical legal experience under your belt, are there some other aspects of the community that you're involved with or want to be involved with? Are there any passions or causes?
Well, I've been a member of the Rush Public Library Board of Trustees since about 2010. I served as the vice president for a couple years, and I'm currently the treasurer. So I'm working there. And then I am involved with the Young Lawyers section of the Monroe County Bar Association.
That's great.
And I am on the nominations committee this year. So we meet and look for other young lawyers that we can nominate for the various awards on the state and local level and prepare all the necessary materials to submit the nominations for those. And I also make cat blankets for Lollipop Farm.
Oh, wow.
in my spare time. I've been doing that for quite a while, actually. And my mom and I used to do it together. And she's passed along, but
I'm so sorry.
Still do it in her memory.
So is that something that a lot of people do, make blankets, or is that something I'm sorry, I'm ignorant about this. So is that like a program, or is that something you started doing, or you and your mom?
Well, I had read Lollipop puts out a newsletter, and this was probably, I don't know, at least 10 years ago. There was an article in their newsletter about this woman who had knitted all of these blankets and donated them. And the purpose behind the blanket is to put something colorful in the cage so that the animal is attractive to people who might want to adopt. And also when the cat is adopted, so that they have something familiar to go to their new home with.
Oh, yes.
I said, well, I could do that. And so it's something nice to be able to do, you know, at night watching TV or just kind of relaxing. And so
it's a lovely thing to do. It's a lovely thing to do. So how many cat blankets have you made?
Oh, probably a couple hundred.
No.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. A couple of hundred?
Yeah. And we donated the one year we dropped them off around Christmas time. We usually kind of collect them all year and then bring them over. And my mom and I had probably done about 50 at least between the two of us.
Wow.
And they said they went through them in within a week. They had already, you know, because they had so many adoptions that time. So they do have a need for them.
Oh, I mean, it makes perfect sense. As you were describing it, it makes complete sense that it does all the things that you described, in addition to which it's giving the cat when he or she is adopted something familiar. I really loved hearing that. You're right. Of course, bringing something familiar with them, it's so important. It's going to be a little bit of a ballast and what will be a little bit of a bumpy transition, no doubt, even if it's a good one.
Yeah.
So what a lovely thing to do. So are other people now following your lead and doing that? Is it more formalized? Or?
Well, there are people that have done the blankets in my mom's memory. So I still do get donations every so often of people who are either donating yarn so that I can make them, or donating blankets that they've knitted or crocheted.
Wow. That's just great. What a wonderful program. And I'm not sure where you find the time. I absolutely don't understand how you've actually knitted 200 blankets. I don't even begin to understand. I couldn't do one, right? But also because you're so busy. I mean, you've got a very active professional life, but also all of the different, no small volunteer roles that you've got there with the Monroe County Bar and in other things. So as you look to the future, is there room for anything else, first of all? But I mean, are there any other things that you're thinking you might want to get involved with, or that you might want to take on a professional level? Is there a natural next step for you in terms of learning, or in terms of, I don't know, a different part of the law that you might want to kind of add to your list of expertise?
Well, a few years ago, I was trained to be a guardian ad litem. A guardian ad litems are appointed by the surrogates court in their various estate matters. Well, not always estate matters, but if there is an estate matter and there is a child or a possible unknown heir or an heir who might be incompetent for whatever reason, maybe there's mental health issues, there's a panel of guardian ad litems that the court can draw from to appoint to be an attorney to represent that individual's interests in the proceeding. So I'm on that panel.
Wow.
One of the other things guardian ad litems do is if there are families seeking to obtain guardianships for a family member who might have intellectual or developmental disabilities, they also would have a court-appointed guardian ad litem for the individual with the intellectual or the developmental disability.
I've never heard of the term. Yeah. I've never heard of the term. So this is great. And I'm guessing a lot of people who are listening have never heard of this either. And in fact, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Business Voice, a program of the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce. And I'm Sarah Lentini. And you're listening to Letty Laskowski, who is an attorney with Harris Chesworth Johnstone Welch. And, you know, hearing about this great program that's available. So is being a guardian ad litem? Is that something that is paid for with public dollars? Do you need, you know, how does anybody pay you? Or is this a way that an attorney does pro bono work? How does that work?
Some of the appointments are compensated. If it is an estate matter, they a lot of times are compensated out of the funds of the estate.
That makes sense. Yep.
For the guardianships, where I'm helping the families who are seeking the guardianships, most of them have been pro bono. So it's a way to help facilitate these families being able to help care for their family members. So it's a nice service that we're able to provide.
It's a wonderful service. And I'm realizing that pro bono is a term that I'm familiar with because I've worked with a lot of attorneys over a long period of time. But just to be clear, pro bono means free, basically.
Correct.
It's, and I think literally means for the good, right? As an act of goodness, as opposed to, a commercial transaction. So what a great thing to be doing. So if somebody might have need of that kind of service, do they go to the court? Who do they go to? Or does the system sort of, I don't know how to put this, but if somebody were interested in learning more about the guardian ad litem, it's incredibly difficult to say, by the way. There's an M, it's very tough, in addition to my tentativeness because it's a new term. But in any event, so if someone's interested in learning more about that, what should they do? How could they?
Well, the surrogates court office and the courthouse, mm-hmm. they can help with directing you to the necessary place. And there's actually standard forms to fill out, which is very helpful for the average person so that you can go through the guardianship process without having an attorney. That is a possibility, but the court is there to help you with getting the process started. Mm-hmm. And then when the paperwork is filled out, then that's where they would appoint a guardian ad litem to help with the process and make sure that the individual who they're seeking the guardianship for, or the ward, mm-hmm. that the ward's interests are represented.
Yep. And protected and served.
Correct.
So, but it's the surrogates
courts.
And is that in downtown Rochester? I mean, I wouldn't know one court from the other.
Sure. It's a branch of the New York court system. So surrogates mm-hmm. court handles guardianships and estate matters.
Okay, specifically. I never knew that, actually. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good thing, but I never knew that. So, okay, and I think it's, as we talk, I'm picturing the building where it is downtown in Rochester, but of course there's probably...
Right across the street from the War Memorial?
Yes. Absolutely. And if you're outside of Monroe County, do you still go there, or is there one in every county? How is that? Do you happen to know that structure?
There are surrogates courts in every county.
In every county. Okay. Yes. So... we shouldn't have a whole bunch of people from other counties traipsing into Monroe. They don't need to do that. They won't be in the right place. Okay, sounds good. Tell me a little bit about if somebody's interested in contributing to the hundreds of blankets that you have provided so generously to, it was Lollipop Farm, correct? How might they go about doing that? Would they contact Lollipop Farm? Would they contact you? Do you have a web address? I don't know how you're...
Well, they're more than welcome to donate directly to Lollipop Farm. Mm-hmm. Basically, they're... about something that a cat would sit on. So maybe I make 2-foot by 2-foot squares. Mm-hmm. And so they collect those. And I've seen other ones that have been donated that have been knitted and crocheted. Some people make little quilts. Right. So they sew them out of fabric.
Very cool. And do you happen to know if Lollipop puts examples of any of those on their website?
I'm not sure.
I think they should.
Yeah.
I want to see the Letty Laskowski collection, which is now scattered all over the place, right? Because, I imagine most of them are now with adopted pets.
Ironically,
which is fantastic.
My grandma's neighbor across the street had adopted a cat 1 year, and she brought home one of our blankets with the cat.
Oh, my goodness. So see, there really is a Letty Laskowski collection. And what a great thing that you do. Letty, we are so delighted. I'm delighted to meet you because for me, this is the first time that we're meeting face-to-face to talk. And, the Community Awards Committee was so impressed with you and the range of things that you do the achievements that you have made at a relatively young age. And congratulations on being selected as the 2018 Young Professional of the Year. It makes complete sense that the Community Awards Selection Committee would have chosen you, and we're so looking forward to celebrating that with you and presenting you with the award on the evening of April 26th at the Marriott. And if folks are interested in joining us, they can go to our website, which is greasechamber.org, and Letty Laskowski, Harris Chesworth, John Stone Welch. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Sarah.
You're very welcome.
I'm honored to receive this award this year.
Oh, the honor is ours. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that about wraps it up for today. You're listening to Business Voice, a program of the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce, and I'm Sarah Lentini. Thank you for joining us. We had 5 great guests from representing 3 wonderful organizations. Kathy Groutman, superintendent of the Greece Central School District, Courtney McGinnis, Mary Ellen Van Auker, and Katie Bauer from Episcopal Senior Life Communities, and of course our last guest, Letty Laskowski, an attorney with Harris, Chesworth, Johnstone, and Welch, all three here representing various awards that the Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce is going to be conferring on actually 15 different honorees on the evening of Thursday, April 26th at the Marriott in Greece. If anybody is interested in attending, you can go to GreeceChamber.org, GreeceChamber.org, and please tune in next month for the next edition of Business Voice.
You've been listening to Business Voice. The Greece Regional Chamber of Commerce serves businesses, nonprofits, and individuals throughout the region, focusing on promoting economic and community development and serving as the voice for business. The Chamber offers networking, education, advocacy, community events, and business services. It serves as an important platform for business leaders and citizens to come together in support of common goals.